That was the least fun I'd had all year. But God is good, and he did see us through it. And looking back now, I think of my kids only learned from the hard stuff. And so I feel so bad for women who are protecting their children from the hard stuff. You better let them know. The hard times are there so God can be seen in their lives. Well, we have a little paper there. We're talking about just hang in there. And this is longevity in marriage. Just because I've been married 57 years, every 10 years I tell him I get a re-up on the option. So in about 3 years, I can decide if I want to do it for another 10. So in Joshua 24:15 says, choose you this day whom you will serve. There's a reason that God said this day. He did not say this week, this month, this year. He said, this day, today. If you try to do things way far in advance, you lose what you could have today. So choose this day whom you will serve. And I know that busy as we are, and as many mistakes as we make, that we have time every day to do the will of God. And I think that sometimes we lose track of that. Having time every day to do the will of God is not all the spiritual things, or having the house clean, or getting whatever your husband needs. Sometimes it means that you have to leave the housework, take the kids with a jar of peanut butter and crackers, and go to the lake. Sometimes it means that you have to forego plans that you've had to help people that are in need. Sometimes it means that someone is hurting, and this time, right now, is the only time that you can help them. Later isn't the time. So remember, this day is the day that you can do the perfect will of God. I once read it's better to burn the candle on both ends than to leave it in the closet and let the mice eat it. So sometimes when you think, oh, I'm really stressed, this is just more than I can do, just calm down. You'll make it. It'll be okay. So what we're talking about, doing things in order, decide to use it now. In high school, I had a very attractive boyfriend that I'm not married to. I didn't know him then. And he had given me this bottle of Chanel No. 5. Now, that's really expensive and really strong stuff. I don't think anybody on the earth uses that anymore. But at the time, that was the big thing. And I just would use that so sparingly. I just didn't want to. I mean, it was too precious to use, so I just didn't use it. Do you know that I still have this bottle of Chanel No. 5 in my closet? And I leave it there to look at it and think, use it now. This reminds me that if you have something stored away and you think it's too good to use, and something someone gave you and you think it's really precious, but what if it breaks? Wouldn't it be better to use it a few times than to never use it at all? I bet each of you have something in your house that you're saving for something. I actually have a cardboard box in my house that I got when I worked in high school at an airplane place, and it's like, it holds patterns, it's very valuable. I'm talking about things that you think are special. What's more special than today? Especially with your kids. What's more special than today? Let's talk about keeping score. I'm going to try to keep moving because I don't want to be the problem that my son has to say, Mom. I read this verse in Psalm 103, verse 12 is what's listed there, and I'll let you read that at another time. But there's a famous saying that says, a Christian may fail many times, but he is never a failure until he begins to blame someone else. Did you get that, ladies? A Christian may fail many times, but he's never a failure until he blames someone else. You know, keeping score of past wrongs or unfulfilled expectations, that's a tool of the devil. If you are ever tempted to club your husband with one of those wrongs and remind him how much of a failure he is or whatever, you're just thinking in your mind, that's the devil trying to make me do that, and I am just going to have no part of it. So you don't want to keep score of your husband's mistakes, but you know what? You don't want to keep score of your own either. How many times have you thought, well, I can't really do that because the last time I did that, that didn't work? Don't keep score of your own failures either. Let go of the things that can keep you defeated. Satan knows just the thing to use. He knows just the time to use it. And he knows just how much force to use. You know, Satan doesn't care if we study our Bible. He doesn't care if we go to church. He doesn't care what we do. He just wants us to put it off. Just don't do it today, he says. Well, that's another trick of the devil that we don't want to have any part of. We need to focus what really counts, and then be sure that you don't let things take over your life. Critical spirit, unthankfulness, pride. Each of you know something in your life that you wish was not there, or that you could control, or that God would help you see how to make it better, how to make it not affect you. And if we remind ourselves our own faults, as in Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin, it's easier to keep things in perspective. My husband already said forgiving and forgetting are choices we make in marriage and in daily living. Forgiveness confirms your love. Forgetting means you never bring it up again. That's a hard thing to do. We like to build our case, you know. If we just pile this up, then that makes us look so much better. I've never understood how that worked, but that's what it is. So forgetting means don't ever bring it up again. Sometimes marriages start going wrong very quietly, little things. And often it starts going wrong long before the marriage falls apart. If you're not loving your husband, it's a choice you have made. And you say, but you don't know what he's done. Well, my mother was married to an alcoholic for over 50 years. Terrible man. He beat us. He did everything. And of course, in those days, you didn't have help groups and you didn't have places to go and things to do. You just stayed put. But the other thing is, my mom didn't want to make us make a choice. My brothers may have gone with my dad, not knowing what a horrible thing alcoholism was. But she stayed with him because she fully believed. She made that commitment. That was what she was supposed to do. She didn't give it up because she just couldn't do it. She made the commitment to love him forever, to be a good wife, and she did that. She had some amazing, amazing experiences that helped me when I got married, talking about the hard times and Blythe, 109 degrees and six kids, and he exaggerated. They did not sleep on the tracks. There was an old railroad station there. They slept on the platform. That was relatively safe. So I always accuse my husband of giving me the car just before it's going to break down. It's just a fun thing we play. And always when I had the six kids with me. So I know that a lot of things that happen, you say, well, you don't know what he's done. I can't forgive him. But God can. Why can't you? And there is nothing that you cannot forgive. And I know that there are some awful things that happen. Awful. We've been witness to many, many things that you think. But God is the one in control. You must let him. You can forgive him. I'm not saying you have to stay with a husband that's mistreated your children or something. I'm saying that God will provide a way for you to keep the vows that you have made. And I do know that you don't fall out of love. You hear me, ladies? You do not fall out of love. You choose to turn and walk away. It's a choice. It's not, oh, I don't feel like loving him today. You have made a choice. You choose to turn and walk away. As we go into number three, persistence rewarded. Did I tell you what number two was? Is it blank there? So early decisions and keeping score. Persistence rewarded. You will rarely see the outcome of your persistence. John 9:4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Marriage is a perfect journey for two imperfect people. Because God ordained the marriage to two imperfect people, it's hard but rewarding work. Time is passing and is not recoverable. Don't let things you could do push away the things that you should do. I think sometimes as moms, wives, we don't protect our personal walk with Christ. you know, when you're busy and everything's going wrong and everything's coming up, we don't remember that our personal walk is where we start. If you don't have a personal walk with God, and if you don't ask Him for guidance and leadership, even to discipline your children or being right with your husband and all of these things, I always say that worship, then serve. You worship the Lord and then serve Him. Amen. You're not going to be of any use to Him. Oh, you'll get the busy stuff done. But you'll only know where God wants you to work and who He wants you to work with and how He wants you to work if you take care of your own spiritual life first. Nothing a teacher, a friend, a co-worker, nothing that they pass on to your spouse or child will be as influential as showing your love for God's word. Like my son said, he has good memories because he remembers that we tried to do it God's way first. We didn't try everything else and then come back. We did it God's way first. Time is passing and not recoverable, so don't let things you could be doing push away the things you should be doing. Psalm 119:60 says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Taking care of your spiritual life is imperative. Be where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to do. Revisit the good memories. This is fun. Proverbs 10:7a says, the memory of the just is blessed. J.M. Barrie said, God gave us memories so that we might have roses in December. Of course, now you can have roses any time of the year. But roses in December is signifying that He gives us these memories in order to help us have the things come back that gave us such joy. Looking at a family album is so entertaining. We had such wonderful times, and we revisit these memories, and we're so happy to share them. But you know, memories can actually sustain life. Any of you that have studied history, there's examples of prisoners of war, concentration camp survivors, and other situations where remembering their home, remembering their mom, remembering their life, remembering the Lord is what sustained them, actually let them live through those horrible experiences because they used the memory that God gave them. We look back and thank God for things that have happened in our lives. Not only is this a blessing to us, but it encourages us to keep on keeping on. My son was telling you about the trip across the desert. Well, that wasn't the only trip across the desert. We had 9 people in a station wagon, all teenagers, which, you know, little kids are hard, but teenagers are such a joy. We had 9 people in this station wagon. It's 100 degrees out, and we had a blowout. My son Daniel had been driving, and dad kept saying, son, now remember, it's hot out there, slow down. Dad said it over and over again. Finally, Daniel stopped the car, got out, walked around to the other side and said, okay, Dad, you can drive now. And not 2 minutes after he started driving, that tire blew. I mean, it just went kaput. And so all of us out there, horrible hot weather, but that we don't like those memories. So we went out in the desert, we found this big piece of wood, we found some charcoal from somebody's campfire, we wrote a great big help sign, and we leaned it up against the trailer. My husband didn't appreciate it, but we sure had fun. So everything that we've ever done, we've tried to make fun out of it. Even if it's a hard time, you can remember the good times. We should never wait to do something that pleases Jesus. Anything that you have in your list of things to do, don't wait to do the things that please Jesus. And in that, remember that things don't count, people do. We must center our lives around whether it's our family, our husband, our children, our extended family, people count. Then we have rest to restore. Exodus 33:14 says, I will give thee rest. You know, from experience, that resting improves your attitude and your experience. One lady said, if God had to give women wrinkles, He might at least have put them on the soles of her feet. Which I think is a great idea. But since we don't have that option, we need to rejoice in what God does do for us and how He does it. As you age, you may not be able to bounce back physically, but you can always bounce back spiritually. That will never get old. That will always be the first thing that God wants us to do. Trusting in God in every stage of life allows us to serve in many different ministries, but you must take care of yourself first. Cold pizza for breakfast and granola bar for lunch probably won't cut it when you're my age. Take care of yourself younger. And I don't mean you have to go on a health food diet. I do mean you have to drink all your water, but you be more thought conscious, thinking about the things that would help you. You can always serve God better if you feel better. And I'm so thankful that God wants us to continue to serve no matter what. Our age, our physical limitation, financial situation, even our mental acuity. Rest is vital. God says again in Matthew 11:28-30, I will give you rest. Now, finding rest may not be so easy for some people. At night, my husband lays down his head and within one, maybe two breaths, he's gone. And I see by all these shaking of the heads, it's like, I used to see if there was a fire, I'd have to drag him out by his feet because he is not waking up. Well, and then there's me. I sit there and I think, oh, I have so many things to do tomorrow. And then I think, well, I might as well just, you know, get up, make a list. And then I think, oh, well, while I'm up, I might as well just knock some of these out, right? Get those things done. So that's what we do. My husband sleeps and I make these things happen in a written list. Sometimes God calms the storm, but sometimes he lets the storm rage and he calms his child. If we can remember that we're to ask the Lord, is this a storm where you're going to come to help me? Or is this a storm that I'm supposed to go through so that you can help me to help others? Everyone will have these storms in life. There aren't any that don't have them. And I think that if we look at this in the way that God looked at it, in the way that God taught us to look at it, if we're really right with God, if we're taking care of ourselves, if we're looking for ways to be the best wife, the best mother that we could be, then God's going to be right there answering the prayer. It's when we get frustrated and let things get really piled up that we almost can't dig ourselves out. I know that there are lots of things that have happened in our lives that my son talks about. We're always taking people in. That's just something we've done. One time we had a family of five living in our motorhome, so we moved them in the house so we could put a family of six in the motorhome. And many times that we've had people stay, and people say, how can you do that? As long as God gives me a house, as long as God touches my heart to do that, then I have to do that. It's not convenient. Heaven knows it's not convenient. Sometimes you have people stay that are so ungrateful, you think, what am I doing this for? But because I'm not doing it for them. I'm doing it for God. And I think those things helped my children to see what this Christian life is all about. My mother-in-law was very sick the last few years of her life. She stayed at our home, in our home for almost 3 years. And she had some very bad health issues. And 17 times she was in the hospital that last year. And she would get sick on the floor. And my son Caleb, he wouldn't say a thing. He'd just go get a mop bucket, put the disinfectant in it, and he'd mop up right behind her. Never said a word. A 16-year-old. Okay, if you don't train your children to care for others like that, they're not going to care for you, honey, when you get that age. I mean it. They're having. And part of that goes back to what he spoke about, the ungrateful spirit. Not saying please and thank you. When our kids are little, it's so cute to teach them to say please and thank you. If we went to the bank and they didn't say thank you for the sucker, we made them hand it back. And the ladies in the bank would say, oh, that's so cruel. I think, okay, well, how else do you want me to teach them? <It's> like, duh. And so when they're little, we do that. But as they get older, oops, we didn't think of it to make them do it, and we don't do it ourselves. When is the last time your child or your husband did something for you and you didn't say thank you? And later on you're thinking, I wonder if I even said thank you for that. We're just not a grateful people anymore. And that is showing up in our churches and in our families and our homes because we are not the grateful people that we should be. I think if the Lord gives us time to serve him more, that we would... There's such an age difference because, you know, all of you are into the technical age. I'm still trying to figure out how to make this work. You see, I mean, it's like, oh, how did I get that stuck on there? What? So my granddaughter, who's 8, Autumn, take care of this. So it's a little bit of a disadvantage that I can't relate on that level, but I can relate on the level that we're all women. We all have the same goal in life, to be good wives, good mothers. And it helped me an awful lot when someone told me about submission. Now, you might not think this, but I'm not really a very submissive person. I pretty much think my ideas are pretty special. And that probably doing that would be the best route we could take. But someone told me once, don't you know, submission is ducking so God can smack your husband up across the head. So once I figured out that if I would just stay out of the way, God would take care of that, it made it a lot easier to be submissive. So I'm asking, ladies, if there's any way that you can put that into your daily life, make sure that you understand it's not that you're giving up something. It's that you're letting God take care of that submission issue. Because we'll never be able to do it on our own. Unfortunately, we're females. So I want to stop a little bit early just in case there were some questions. I know that we have a very group here, but if there's something that you'd like to ask, if I can answer it, I will answer it. If I can't, Mary will answer it. Yes. I was normal teenager, very popular, held office, did all kinds of things, thought I was really something. Junior in high school, I went to church at Calvary Baptist Church in Laverne, California, and he preached on hell. And I knew that I didn't want to go there. And I asked the Lord to come in my heart. That evening, I was baptized. And I remembered, we sang There's Room at the Cross. It was on a Sunday morning, say, and a Sunday night. It was the day of my grandfather's 60th birthday. And I have a whole list of things that God gave me to remember. And you say, oh, man, I don't even know when I was saved. Well, God knew I needed that information because a month after I got saved, the pastor at our church was put in jail for embezzling the offering. If I were putting my faith in that man, my life would have been destroyed. But because I had my faith in God and because God let me remember all of these things. But growing up in the home of an alcoholic was a tough thing. And I vowed I would never marry a man who drank or smoked. And I had plenty of dates. I could have chosen from plenty. But God gave me the one that was going to have those goals. And sometimes we see our children being friends with people. I mean, friends are friends, but I think, unfortunately, we're way too lax in what we allow our children to do in dating and even their attitude about things. We've always had a real good relationship with our children as far as when we ask them not to do something, they didn't. And I think parents are allowing their children to get away with things to the point where they have no influence over them anymore. And so when it comes time to be choosing a husband or wife, your voice doesn't count. And so now, instead of raising your children, you're raising your grandchildren. And they say if you raise your children right, you don't have to raise your grandchildren. And that is true, biblically, that you must raise your children correctly. And then God led me to Oklahoma to meet the man that I thought was the biggest hick that ever crossed the planet. A farmer. I mean, I'm from California. I'm a beach bunny. I don't, you know, what? But God just kept running us together. So I'm from California. He's from Missouri. We met in Oklahoma, got married in California, moved to Iowa. I mean, it's been like that ever since, and it's been 57 years. I cannot tell you all the places we've lived. But God has blessed, and each milestone of the way, He has provided that opportunity to serve and to be served. I don't think we have soft enough hearts anymore, that we're not thinking in terms of what we can do and how we can do it the best way we can for the Lord.